We're on the air.
Hello, friends. Stay checked in with Complete Sentences podcast transmissions. The best of episode is coming soon. Watch for it. 3, 2, 1.
All right, friends, we're back on Complete Sentences Podcast.
That's right, it's a new week, new episode.
It's a new a lot of things, Ty. It's
a lot of newness going on right now.
It's been a little while. We've we like to take little breaks in between episodes to really let our lives just flourish.
Just let things happen. Let things happen organically.
Yeah. So we can talk about them, obviously,
basically, on the podcast. Yeah, essentially. It's a fancy way of saying take a little break so we can have shit to talk about next week.
Right. And then also in the second segment, we're going to be getting a telephone call from Lance Mannion.
That's right, our old pal Lance, the author.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about an exciting new holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely think it's something our fans could get behind, you know?
Oh, for sure. And it's April 2nd, so you're going to want to stay tuned in for that. But for now, I mean, anything interesting going on with you, Ty?
Not a whole lot. It's just been just a regular week. How long has it been? A week or two?
It had
2 weeks, right?
It's been about 2 weeks since Late Night CSP.
That's right, Late Night CSP. That was a good episode.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we could talk about is the weather.
Yeah.
We could talk about the weather.
Sure.
Since it's been, like, snowing a hell of a lot, actually, the last couple weeks.
It's strange. It's been snowing, and it really hasn't, here lately, it really hasn't accumulated much. It's just been snowing nonstop.
No. Yeah, we had a couple days where it just pretty much snowed constantly or off and on, but some of it was pretty heavy and then not really accumulate.
It just enough to keep everything nice and sloppy outside.
Yeah, pretty much. Although we did have that killer snow.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. State of emergency.
That's right. Yeah. It was declared a state of emergency.
In a lot of ways, it was the perfect storm, Ty.
It was. Yeah, I guess it wasn't that much, but I suppose for how much it was in one day and so constantly that I could see that. Yeah, it was pretty shady there for a little bit.
A little weather chat.
That's how we do it.
We like to start off with a little weather chat, people know where we're at. Of course, people aren't going to hear this for probably another 2 or 3 days.
That's right.
So
so it'll be all obsolete information by that time.
Nothing's better than inaccurate weather. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's nice to look back.
Yeah. But really, inaccurate weather is basically what we get anyway.
It's so true. So why not? Why don't they broadcast this on all the major news sites?
And they might as well.
Yeah. Just give us like a weather chat. We could be the weather chat guys.
We could. We can just say shit like, it's going to be sunny tomorrow, guys.
Yep.
And even if it isn't, people expect weather reports to be wrong anyway. So,
and I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody reports that it's going to be sunny tomorrow and it's raining, I mean, really, what are you going to do? There's nothing. Yeah. It's the weather, man.
The weather. What are you going to do? Yeah, what do you want from us? It's the weather.
That's what I would say. If people got pissed about like, you said it was going to do this. Like, I predicted it, man. I don't know. I'm predicting that if you keep this up, I'm going to beat your ass.
Yeah, that's right. It's a force of nature, folks.
Have you seen The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, I like that movie.
Good flick.
That's a really good movie. Yeah, one of his actual good movies.
What was his name in the movie? Spritz.
Oh, was it? I don't remember.
And then on his 5-day forecast, he would have the Spritz Nipper.
That's right, the Spritz Nipper. Yeah, I just remember him getting shakes and coffee thrown at him. And the slow motion shot of just coffee hitting him in the back of the head.
The falafel.
Mm-hmm. That's right, a falafel, too.
That was, I know, I love it how everybody's so pissed at him, too, all mm-hmm. the time. Because he's the weather guy and he fucks it up.
Yeah.
And then you get the people that want to come up and, like, communicate with him, like, face to face. Like, so, what's the nipper this week? Like, they come up and talk to him. He's like, I don't fucking know, man. It's wet. It's winter. It's going to be cold.
Yeah, that was kind of a depressing movie, but it also made me want to be a weatherman, for sure. If that's what it's like, you just sleep with chicks and get paid a crazy amount of money
yeah.
to do shit.
You know, that's one of those movies, I still bust out a callback from that movie and mm-hmm. a whole lot of scenarios in my life, like still to this day.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do is if someone's getting in my car or they're going to sit down next to me or something and there's like a paper in the way, I'll be like, let me just move this letter from Hello America.
That's right.
That's my favorite line in the movie.
Good movie. Nicolas Cage, man.
Hey, what's he up to?
I don't know.
After Bangkok Dangerous.
Oh, Bangkok Dangerous. That was a hit.
That was a hit.
Yeah, we were talking about him at work the other day, and he just does a lot of really shitty movies, but he also does a lot of really good movies. Like it's like he can't find the happy medium between the two, or...
Do you think it's because he's trying to find a happy medium, or do you think it's just because he's trying to go so off the wall with each different movie selection?
I don't know. I don't know what his process could be that he reads the script for, like, Next or Wicker Man, and he's like, yeah, definitely. I'm going to be in this. Yeah. When he won, didn't he win an Oscar for, like,
Con Air?
For Con Air? Yeah, no, for leaving Las Vegas. Dude, I'm pretty sure he won an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
So to go from that to Bangkok Dangerous, it's like, dude, why don't you take a little, make some good judgment decisions here?
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's like, with Nicolas Cage, it's hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll get like a Con Air, or you'll get a Weatherman, mm-hmm. but you're also going to have to sift through, like, the Drive Angries.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Or, what was his, although I kind of liked it, what was this, The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
And Ghost Rider.
And Ghost Rider. And Ghost Rider 2.
So Ghost Rider 2.
There was a sequel to it, somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Or was it Ghost Rider Boo?
I think that's what it was.
That's what it should have been called.
Just Ghost Rider 2 with the T-O-O, I think.
Oh, like Teen Wolf.
Like Teen Wolf 2, yeah. What does that even mean, Teen Wolf 2? Like, he's a Teen Wolf also?
I mean, I guess, yeah, because it was a different actor.
That's right.
Maybe they're like, we can't get Michael J. Fox for the second one. Well, how about we just get a new guy and we just call it Teen Wolf 2?
Yeah, that's right. All right.
And then some sarcastic guys in the writers are like, why don't we just call it Teen Wolf also? Hey, shut up.
Be a dick. Yeah. Well, I've heard Nicolas Cage is down on money these days.
I could see that.
Bad money issues.
Oh, he did National Treasure also, didn't he?
Yeah, National Treasure was good.
You don't think he ran out of all the Disney money?
I don't know. I guess. Like, I've heard, I can't remember now off the top of my head, but somebody went through a list of, like, all the crazy shit he owns, and it's like, why? I'm pretty sure he owns an octopus. Like, a legitimate octopus.
I think I have heard that, like, he made a lot of, like, terrible financial decisions. You know who else I also heard is, like, Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got like 20 homes or some shit, but in every home, every day, he has to get fresh flowers every day.
What?
Delivered to his home. And can you imagine how many flowers he has in one of his homes?
Holy shit.
So even if he's not there,
mm-hmm.
still, I think he spends like $1 million a year on flowers.
My God. Why aren't we going after these people? Why isn't there a huge backlash against Elton John? Like, hey, motherfucker, why don't you give that money to starving kids with no legs?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But hey, we should also mention that right before we started broadcasting episode, we got a knock on the door at the studio.
Mm-hmm. Some unexpected guests.
Yeah, so we thought, well, hey, you know, this is pretty awesome. Let's see what's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Always look forward to an unexpected knock on the door.
I do. It's an adventure.
Yeah, and it was three kids, I guess. Three little boys.
Yeah, what were they like? They looked like they were 12, 13.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I guess what would you describe them as?
They were conducting a survey. Yeah. It was a survey on religion.
On religion, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's cold out. You know, they're going all to all different doors knocking. So I'm like, you know, I'll answer a couple questions. Yeah. Well, I don't care about that.
Sure.
I asked if they'd like to come in, and then they stopped in the tracks. No, no. It's like, come on.
No, sir, we can't cross the threshold.
Come on, it's like I'm trying to like lure them in, like just I'm the devil.
Yeah. I got some hot cocoa. Yeah.
Just brush all the drugs and alcohol out of the way.
Yeah, they were really adamant when you said that. They were like, no, we're good.
Yeah, and then the one kid's like, well, come on, it's kind of cool. He like whispered to the other, like the ringleader.
Did he really?
Yeah, he whispered to the other kid. Hilarious. He's like, I mean, we can go in, it's kind of cool. No, we're going to ask you a couple questions right here.
We'll be here. Why don't you stay right where you are? Keep your hands where we can see them.
Yeah. One of the questions, like it started off, you know, what's your name? Mm-hmm. What age group would you say that you're in? Yeah,
started out pretty innocent.
Right? Have you ever attended church? You know, all these mm-hmm. simple questions. And then he hits me with, what do you believe someone has to do to get into heaven?
Whoa. You went hard on that one.
I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, that was strong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess we should mention they seem to be from a church, from some Baptist church.
Oh, they were from a church? Yeah, I just figured that they were just having like, kid games out there.
Yeah, I just figured they were. That's just what they like to do.
We should do that sometime, just like pretend like we're from a church and just ask questions.
We should. We could probably get into some really interesting conversations.
And we could carry like a small recorder on us and record it. Mm-hmm. And then each question would get wackier and wackier.
Yeah. That would be pretty awesome. Just see how far we can escalate it until they get us out.
Yeah, that would be cool. But, so, and then they also asked, do you believe that you're going to heaven? Mm-hmm. And I told them I'm 100% positive.
100% sure. Absolutely, I am.
Who the hell is to say, man?
Yeah. That's, I don't know. I guess they must have been, this must be some church thing they're doing, and they're going to display the results next Sunday. To show how godless this St. Louis is becoming.
Yeah, probably. End of days.
End of days.
How was your background? Was it religious? Did you ever get into anything like that?
Yeah, I was like really, really, really into it. Through high school, starting like around sophomore year and up until college, I was definitely into that scene for sure. I was a Jesus freak.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Kind of weird thinking back to that time.
Would you get offended easily about things?
No. I think I was always really open-minded, and I was always, it sounds really conceited to say, but whatever. And I think I was always a questioner, so it wasn't like I was just a blind, you know, I mean, I guess people would argue. Anybody who's religious is blind, obviously. But
There's an argument for that.
But I don't think it was just a blind faith of, you know, just some annoying Jesus freak. I always had questions, and I always struggled a whole lot with accepting, you know, things just because they were told to me. But I was definitely one of those kids going to Jesus camps and stuff in the summer. And
now, do you still have that mindset today, or have you shifted?
No, definitely not at all. I mean, I guess I've completely shifted. I guess I would be called agnostic now.
Really?
Which just means I don't know, and I don't know if there's any way to know, but I'm not, like, obsessed with the question of it, you know?
A lot of people get agnostic and mm-hmm. atheist confused.
Yeah, they do. Atheist obviously is just a total rejection of the belief.
Not believing in anything.
Mm-hmm, not believing in anything except science and what's verifiable. To me, atheism is just as kind of ridiculous as believing, you know, having faith to begin with. I mean, maybe not as ridiculous, but it's the same thing, believing in an absolute and saying there definitely isn't anything when, like, there's no way we know anything. We don't even know what this is right now, so.
I'm in the mindset that I believe there is a higher power, mm-hmm. like there is a soul creator.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it's the one that you hear about in church. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's the one that Jewish people pray to. I'm not sure if it's the one that Hindu people pray to. I think mm-hmm. it's above all that even.
Yeah.
You've heard the term that there are gods with little g's, mm-hmm. all looking up to the guy with the big g.
Yeah.
I believe there are a bunch of little g's out there.
You think so?
You know?
Yeah.
And they were all created by the big g.
The big g's kind of looking over everything.
So.
Were you raised in church at all, or?
I was not. I would go to vacation Bible school strictly for the snacks and the mm-hmm. projects, like the making wind chimes for the backyard, that type of thing. But I was never. It was never really a big deal in my home growing up. My family My family was really easygoing about things. None of them were ever churchgoers, so.
No.
Which is kind of odd, because you said that your family didn't really go to church either. It was kind of something you figured out on your own.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like we kind of, growing up, we would go to a church every once in a while, or we'd find a church and we'd go there a lot for a month or two, and then we'd kind of drop out. And the church that I finally got into, that I became like a Jesus freak, was actually my mom drug me there when we first moved here to St. Louis. And she kind of forced me to go to the youth group. And then what it was is I found friends there. And even till today, like my best friend is like the first person I met at the youth group. And so it was like I found friends and I found kind of acceptance where I had been the new kid in town and in a new school in the middle of freshman year in high school. So I like obviously didn't find any friends there, you know, being the new oddball from the West Coast. So that was kind of the impetus of it, was just having friends there and being somewhere to hang out.
Now, whenever you first started going to church or whatever, and then you got super into it, did you do it out of like fear, I guess, for like your mortal soul? Or was it mainly like you were so scared of like going to hell that you wanted to do something different?
No, I don't think so. For me, I've never really feared like hell in that way or anything, or felt the fear of God like that. I think for me, I've always just been kind of a seeker, maybe, or I've just been searching for more or something bigger or something higher, and this was that something at that point anyway. Yeah. Gave me a reason to believe in something more than just nothing.
And I mean, even though, I guess, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that Christianity is bullshit, you know, I'm not like that at all. And I believe it's really important for people to be really, like, to have strong beliefs on something. And I think that's a really important part of life.
Yeah.
And if I can sit here and tell you that I don't really know what the creator is, or then how can I tell you that what you believe is wrong? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely not going to go along those lines. I believe that a lot of things that you hear in church, though, like about the Bible, I think that the Bible was written to entertain people. And it was passed down from generations to generations with people throwing things in it. And I think that just became a little overblown, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, even then, I mean, the Old Testament is really that kind of, where the fire and brimstone and the, you know, the no gaze and no eating this and all the rules, that's kind of the Old Testament. The New Testament is way more of a love people and sacrifice yourself for others, even though there's a little bit of that bullshit rules stuff going on in there. So I think Christianity gets kind of a bad rap for the extremists that exist in it, whereas for the most part, everyone is really pretty chill, and they're more about just being good people and loving and helping other people.
I think those are like the real Christians, because that's what Jesus was all about, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Jesus wasn't going to go hold up signs saying God hates fags.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little crazy to me.
No, never. Jesus hung out with the prostitutes and he hung out in the slums to hang out with those kind of people, hung out with just the vile people that we wouldn't want to be with. And it says somewhere in the New Testament, like, he did that because he wanted to be all things to all men. He didn't want to look down on people and be like the Pharisees who were judging people and making people feel like shit. He wanted to be among them and show them that love, which is, like, I think there's something to, I guess, to talking to people and trying to persuade them to join your faith or whatever, but it seems to have always worked better to live as an example, which is like being a good person, and then people are like, so what's up with you? Why are you such a good person? But yeah, instead of this extremism of like this hellfire and brimstone thing where you're like, you're going to hell because of this, and
Yeah, I think anytime I think back to even being a kid, just the thought of like church or religion, I automatically think of, you know, scary things and like people trying to just scare the shit out of you into believing what they believe and doing what they do. But I don't understand how somebody can call themselves a Christian and then say, and then just hate certain people, like just have pure hatred for certain people.
Yeah, it's totally goes against the foundation of Christianity for sure.
Exactly.
That kind of hatred. But yeah, I don't know. I just think knowing anything is it's kind of impossible when we, I mean, there's hardly shit we know about our world as it is right now, or just like the physical reality we see in front of us when you get down to a small enough level is just space and atoms that are just, you know, so far away from each other that basically everything is just air and space and nothingness. Right. It's just vibration of molecules and atoms. So to say like, yeah, there definitely is this or there definitely isn't that, it seems kind of silly.
There's a lot of questions out there that are going to go unanswered. And I feel like all it is just people trying to just take up time, you know, coming up with hypotheses.
Yeah, there's a band, Broken Social Scene, and they have a song called Cause Equals Time, which I think kind of is supposed to mean that we have so much time and we, you know, you take up causes in order to pass that time, or you take up causes just for something to do or just for something to believe in to kind of get you through this life, which is just a whole, you know, 70, 80 years of time.
Yep.
That's kind of what I think, cause equals time.
It's interesting stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to, I mean, that's how people come up with, you know, all these questions, because it's fun to just sit around and think about it.
It is, yeah. It's I love, like, just sitting around and debating and just talking about it. And
I mean, you can make it whatever you want it to be. I think that's what a lot of Christians have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it definitely becomes whatever you want it to be, because there's no solid answer.
No.
If you sound certain on something, then for that minute, you have the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is people that are going to listen to you.
That's right, yeah.
And that's why we started this podcast,
yeah.
Because we want to get people to believe what we believe.
That's right.
Maybe someday become leaders.
Pretty soon, we're going to start putting forward ideas and beliefs of a certain... One might call it a cult. I just call it a collective.
A collective's better. I think cult's a little too harsh.
It's harsh, right?
Yeah. But what we need to do is just kind of pepper in these ideas. Just like have something funny, like what we normally would put out, like something kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But just kind of just barely just start peppering in our just real
pepper it in there.
Our real thoughts.
Yeah. I like that.
I don't know what hit them.
Mm. Pretty soon we're going to be living in a commune in a cabin out in the woods.
Mm.
Taking psychedelics all day.
Yeah.
Playing guitar.
That would be cool. I don't know, man. I'd try to grow a beard, but I can't really grow a beard.
That's true.
I would stop combing my hair.
Yeah, you could stop combing your hair, just have really long hair. Stop cleaning the hair.
Okay.
It's all straggly.
I guess that would
grow
make
long
up.
Hair, yeah.
That would make up for not having a beard.
Yeah, I think so. Or you could go the route of, I mean, you're not a bad looking dude. You could just be a good-looking leader of this cult that people will be like, he's really attractive. There can't be anything wrong with him.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You've got the clean cut route.
I don't know if I'm charismatic enough to lead a cult. You gotta be charismatic, dude.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. That's true. Yeah, I don't think I am either.
But if any listeners are out there, they could hit us up at completesentencespod@gmail.com if they think that they're right to lead.
That's right. Maybe send in a resume and maybe a YouTube interview video or just a little audition video.
VHS tape.
Yeah, VHS tape. Absolutely.
We can have Rodrigo mull them over.
Mm-hmm.
Just go through them. But yeah, man. Oh, and by the way, I bought some Kiss buttons.
Yeah.
The 4 solo album covers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. So, we're going to keep 2 of them here, and I think we're going to, if there are any listeners out there, I have Ace Frehley. I believe you picked Peter Criss, didn't you?
Yeah,
you just like the way
Peter
he looks.
Criss.
So we're going to form almost like a band, I guess,
mm-hmm.
almost like a Kiss-like band, just by wearing these buttons everywhere we go. So Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons are still open. If anybody wants them, the first come, first serve, hit us up, and we'll work that out with you.
Yeah, you like friendship bracelets or friendship pins.
Mm-hmm. Only 4 of them, though, man.
Only 4,
guys.
These are
only for true believers.
That's right.
Real ambassadors of the future. So, yeah, hit us up on Facebook if you want to do it that way.
Got completesentencespod@gmail.com.
Yep, we can do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
All over the internet.
That's right. At Ty and Rocky. Is it at Ty and Rocky? I do this every week. I forget if it's
Ty and
K.
Rocky K.
At Ty and Rocky K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On Twitter. But, yeah. So, religion, man.
Religion, dude.
That's what's going on. I don't really think we've dabbled in a lot of religion talk, except whenever we had Zach on.
That's right,
we got into it a little bit with him.
Yeah, it's a tough, it's a sticky subject.
I That's for sure. I think it is because people are so passionate about it.
They are. I know, right? People just need to chill out and remember that there's other points of view and that you can always learn things from other people's points of view, even if you don't, you don't have to, you know, believe them or think that they're right necessarily. But
the sad thing is that the people that are so passionate about it, that like are really, really passionate about it, are the people that can't open their minds to any other ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible, man. If that could just be switched around where they could be super passionate, but still be able to listen to other ideas, mm-hmm. it'd be goldmine.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we could start making some changes mm-hmm. around here, Ty.
That's right, yeah. And they even forget that you, that, I mean, you, at a, to a certain point you can, but you're not going to change people's minds by being a dick, and you're not going to win anybody over by telling them they're definitely wrong and they're going to hell, but instead, the way to go about it would be to be open-minded and to have, like, real conversation and dialogue and respectful dialogue with them.
Right.
Instead of just trying to dominate them.
I couldn't agree more, man.
Well, yeah. So I guess, what do we got coming up next? We got a little, special guest, right?
Yeah, the second segment, we're going to be joined by a dear friend. Mm-hmm. I'm a dear friend at this point.
Dear friend.
Lance Mannion. Mm-hmm. Lance Mannion is going to come on, and he's going to talk about this holiday that he, I guess, founded.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Treat, guys.
So, from now on, April 2nd is known as National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day.
Mm-hmm.
You might be asking yourself, I mean, what's this?
Yeah, you might be asking yourself, but don't worry, you're going to find out.
Oh, right? Yeah, we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And other topics as well.
Yeah.
So, we're going to take a short break here, but stay tuned in. Coming up next after this beautiful advertisement, we're going to have an interview with Lance Mannion. So, stick around.
Went to my dentist with the worst pain. He told me about a different medicine. It's in these little yellow pills, Nuprin. Works so well on that pain, no wonder it's great on my awful headaches.
Nuprin. It's not aspirin, not Tylenol. It's ibuprofen. So effective, two Nuprin stop headaches better than extra-strength Tylenol.
And Nuprin's gentler on my stomach than aspirin.
Nuprin. Little, yellow, different, better.
It even worked on my worst pain.
All right, we're back. And Ty, it's that time in the show where we delve into the second segment. And if I'm not mistaken, we have a special guest calling in again today.
That's right. We have an old friend, Lance Mannion.
How's it going, Lance?
Very good. Yourself?
Hey, we're doing great.
Doing pretty good.
Staying warm.
Yeah. I guess some of you might remember Lance. What episode was it? I don't even know.
Oh, episode 22.
22, yeah. He's an author. So got a few books out. We got The Ball Washer, we got Merciful Flush, the Lance Mannion blogs, and Results May Vary. And Ball Washer is actually free. You could get that through his website, lancemannion.com.
But really, what we wanted to have Lance on for was, well, let me just start by saying, I've been checking around, you know, I like to Google things once in a while.
Yeah, I like Googling.
So I'll get on Google, I'll throw in Lance Mannion, see what Lance is up to.
All right.
I see just a whole bunch of websites that he's on about this. What is it? National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day. So yeah, we. Yeah, so we were like, what's up with this? So we wanted to get you on, Lance. Can you maybe enlighten us a little bit on what's going on here?
Very simple premise. It's a plea for very, very attractive people to for one day lower their standards and have sex with an ugly person.
Oh man.
And again, not a borderline guy, not, you know, that friend that you're on the fence about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about actively seeking out really ugly people and throwing them a bone.
Wow.
Male and female. I think it's something that as a culture we don't talk about enough, but supermodels are just not having enough sex with ugly people. You know, if you pick up the tabloids at the supermarket, beautiful people are banging beautiful people. And, you know, for one day a year, I'd like to, throw some to the ugly people.
Well, that is a very noble idea, man. That's definitely something I can get behind. I don't know about you,
sure.
Ty.
I'm definitely into it, for sure.
Well, I'm hoping for some sort of prize or acknowledgement. Maybe not Nobel, but, you know, something like that. In a few years from now, you know, the people who give out prizes, particularly ugly people who give out prizes, I would like to see, you know, them throw some my way for come out with the idea.
Well, at the least, maybe you could be presented with a key to the city from the mayor. I think that would be cool.
That's right. That'd be pretty cool.
Of an ugly city.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That'd be cool.
I was gonna immediately launch into naming some, but I don't know. You might have listeners there, so there's nothing for me to gain by alienating everybody. And gonna do it again. A city that shall remain nameless.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should create our own city. We should have all ugly people across the country migrate to a new and create a new city where the playing field is now level.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, I think in the South they're one step ahead here. Not saying that, you know, everybody's like, they're ugly parts of America.
That's true.
I mean, I've traveled quite a bit, and you go to California, and it's just beautiful people all over. And then in the Midwest, they tend to cluster around major cities. But you're probably only in an hour or two drive from ugly Central yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool. So what exactly gave you this idea? What was the motivation on this?
Well, it was a two-part, but the first thing is I saw, it was on Facebook, the bane of both of our existences, I saw this meme making fun of this really ugly girl, but the girl was laughing and smiling, and it was like she just seemed very nice and happy, and I felt very mean-spirited laughing at the fact that, you know, this meme was making fun of her. So in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, would it be possible to actually do this girl? Put that in with the, I just saw, like, I guess it's 2 months ago, National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant. So the thing starts, and I'm sick of all these, you know, holidays like Easter. Why not, you know, force in another, you know, National Talk Like a Pirate Day and try to help people who are really, really in need of getting laid? So, you know, once the idea took root, it was pretty simple. Lots of people, mostly ugly again, are behind it. You know, I spent a day calling modeling agencies. I did an interview with Nerve.com. And while we were talking, the idea, you know, we were going back and forth laughing about it. So as soon as I got off with that, I immediately, like, called, like, 30 modeling agencies. Trying to get them, you know, on board. And I'm like, hey, you know, do you have any models that are willing to bang some ugly people? And believe it or not, I couldn't get anybody to not hang up on me.
Really?
Shocking. Very shocking.
Yeah, very surprising. I thought they would react a lot better. Especially since it was just receptions. I probably wasn't even talking to an attractive person.
Yeah.
But even they had zero tolerance for, you know, that kind of humor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and most of the models that you see on, like, Miss America, they're, like, super humanitarian. I can't believe it. They wouldn't want to help their fellow man.
That's true. They're so full of shit. They're out there, you know, probably dreaming of banging Tebow. None of them are willing to take one for the team. Although Miss Delaware, I think, on some level did that.
I was about to say that. If there's money involved, hey.
You heard about that Miss Teen Delaware?
Yeah, I guess for people who might not know, she was, did she win Miss Delaware, right? Of course,
she won it.
And then it came out that she had been in a pornographic movie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So,
But, you know, her handlers have yet to get back to me as well, so very disappointed for her.
Yeah.
That'd be a perfect segue. Maybe they could even film it.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw some of the video, by the way, and it was very lackluster. I was very disappointed in her performance. It wasn't even a good one.
You know,
well, when I was watching the pageant, I'm like, there's just something familiar about that girl.
Yeah.
Real quick, if we could talk about pornography for a little bit, I really missed like the pornography movies that actually had the titles. You know, like, you don't really see a lot of that anymore.
What do you mean, like a movie released?
Well, yeah, that had like a really, like, kind of corny, like, sexy name, you know?
Right.
Like log jamming or something. You don't see enough of that anymore.
That's true.
But, well, I think gay porn is still at the vanguard of that. I think you'll see some witty gay porn names. I think because there's such a glut of normal pornography that they could even try.
Yeah,
they've given
up. You gotta look at those up-and-coming markets for the witty comments.
Yeah, I hear that.
But, okay, going back to the National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day, did you write out, like, a list of rules or maybe guidelines for how this day actually works?
No, not really. That would require a lot of effort, and I blog as opposed to write for a reason.
There you go.
My great contribution was coming up with the idea, and then I will let the masses come up with the ground rules. I think it's very simple. April 2nd, if you aren't if you're planning on going out and trying to have sexual activity, just lower the bar as far as you can. That's all I'm saying. One night, because then April 3rd, when some ugly guy goes, slipping out of your apartment, you have a good excuse. Everybody will sit there and say, wasn't that nice? Mary threw that ugly guy a bone.
Yeah, and you know what? It could even turn into like a contest, like for the ugliest person, and whoever has sex with the ugliest person wins the contest. And in that way, maybe we can get even.
A really ugly guy heads to the bars April 2nd, knowing that he is going to be the most coveted guy in the place.
Yeah.
Hunchback, one eye, giant, overweight, hairless guy. That one night, he's listening to Saturday Night Fever. He's pulling his comb over. Throwing on his cologne, knowing that he's going to bang the hottest chick of the bar. I think we owe it to that guy for one night to give him the experience that, attractive people have on a daily basis.
Yeah, that'd be magic. That's what I'm envisioning, too. A lot of ugly people all going to bars and kind of just lining up and being examined by really beautiful people. And then just saying,
I'm not just appealing to the female, that if you're an attractive guy, I think that you need to, either chubby chase or go look for that, girl in the corner, go to the libraries, and root out some girl that could probably use, one night of physical gratification, just slip one after you're, done chasing the eights and nines at the bar, find the one and give her a night to remember.
There you go, man. That's a really good idea, and I like the way that you said, if you see some ugly person leaving like your neighbor's apartment, not so much being like, man, what's up with him, but being like, oh, that's cool. He's a really I see what he's doing. He's a really nice guy.
Good for him. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Exactly. You have a warm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see though the why you're getting not very welcome reception for this. I think most people would hear it and they would think that you were being a dick, or you're making a joke out of it, or trying to be mean-spirited in some way, and they wouldn't actually realize that you're pretty sincere about it.
If you look at most of what comedy and humor is, you've got the N-word, you've got the C-word, but I think day-to-day, the worst word is the U-word, ugly. Because it's such a dominant thing in our culture, but no one ever talks about it. Whether it's, the bubble-headed blonde news anchor, whether it's the TV star slut. I mean, everywhere, beauty is the most important thing. And you've got, this 98th percentile of people who are average and below buying into this. So I think any time that, that a comedian or a blogger or a writer points it out, you're going to get blowback. Because they Matthew McConaughey doesn't want you to go through pictures of everybody he's banged in the last year, because it'll look like the upcoming Barbie catalog. He should, through public service, bang some ugly girls.
That's true.
Maybe he should be sentenced to that next time he's arrested.
Yeah, how much? Imagine how much.
Community service. Him in nothing but socks and one of those little orange vests that you see on the side of the road when they're picking up trash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, imagine how much good could come of that, of like Matthew McConaughey and Channing Tatum and, I don't know, Bradley Cooper, like just being seen out in public with just ugly girls.
It would make
just, like being really into it and like, yeah, I slept with this chick.
It'd become the new norm, man. It would be like everybody going green, everybody's going ugly.
That's right.
And you're right, maybe a bit escapes the bounds of April 2nd. Maybe you get the April 3rd or 4th, and then it starts growing and growing. Because ugly girls have it even worse than ugly guys. Because ugly guys can always get rich and famous, and then they can sleep with models. But if you're an ugly girl, I mean, you are usually screwed.
Yeah, that's true.
And by
that's
that, I mean not screwed at all.
Not screwed. So have you gotten, going back to what Ty said about people could maybe see this as you making fun of ugly people, have you gotten anybody that like have personally come at you and attacked you on this thinking that it was all a big joke on ugly people? Have you had anybody specific come after you?
No, I really expected to, which I was looking forward to. I love that. And believe it or not, most people get it. you know, there were a couple comments on different sites that had, you know, publicized it or mentioned it, and they were overwhelmingly, you know, humorous and understanding that it's just an opportunity to talk about how superficial things have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically this, you know, and that's what, you know, anybody who's writing is trying to do. It's just begin a conversation. This is a great conversation starter about how superficial our culture has gotten. You know, and so I think most people get that. I'm not trying to make, you know, fun of ugly people because I'm one of them. You know, I put no effort into being attractive. I'm a writer. I can be ugly, so I revel in it. I tried once to pluck my eyebrows, and it was a disaster. So now I'm full-on ugly, and I'm just going to accept it and pitch April 2nd.
There you go.
I like it, being proactive instead of accepting defeat. I like it.
Well, I over-plucked one of my eyebrows, and I guess it grows back thicker than it does before. So I got one now. They're both giant caterpillars, but one of them looks like a caterpillar with a hunchback. So it's just a mess. And I try to pluck them, but now the hairs grow back even thicker. So now if I pluck one of them, like I wake up on the bathroom floor 10 minutes later because I patched it up.
Wow.
So I think I'm just going to embrace it.
Man, I know. I've been trying to trim my nostril hairs for like the past month because I can tell whenever I flare my nostrils that I have just these hairs coming out, but I just haven't gotten around to it. Maybe I'll just start celebrating April 2nd rather than trim my nostril hair.
Exactly. Let your freak flag fly April 2nd. Just comb them out so they're all coming, you know, over the lip of your nose.
That's right,
yeah, man. See, that's...
Turn some heads.
I can see this even becoming even bigger than just ugly people day. It could become, you know, just like you said, just letting it all hang out, man, and it could be just completely accepted on that one day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, just as long as beautiful girls don't forget to bang ugly guys.
Yeah.
I don't want them wearing t-shirts of this, but and then not going home with an ugly guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep it out. They'll try to weasel it out. So I got to keep the focus on actual intercourse with ugly people.
Yeah, I could see some hot chicks just walking around in the t-shirts, being real fair weather fans on April 2nd, and then not going home with an ugly guy. I could definitely see that happening.
In much the same way that they...
It's the hip thing to do.
Yeah, in much the same way...
You'll talk about it, but no one will actually have sex with ugly people, and you'll have all these ugly people out there, you know, they haven't masturbated for a week, saving up for their big night, and then going home to have to whack it. Very disappointing.
Yeah. It could definitely turn into, like, a the same way that girls... Like, as you well know, girls claim to be nerds.
Oh, yeah.
When in fact they're just wearing glasses or a cardigan sweater.
Oh, don't even start me on the acquisition of the nerd tag.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Beautiful girl. Like, I'm such a nerd, you know? Mm-hmm. I like watching TV sometimes.
Don't you want to fucking punch him right in the face?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, that's funny.
And you can tell that they sat in front of the mirror all day combing their hair and putting on their makeup, and then they just throw on a pair of glasses and a t-shirt, and then it's like, I'm a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Right, oh, is the bow tie too much? Huh? You want to grab their head and shove it in the fucking toilet and give it a swirly and say, hey, welcome to nerddom.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they don't realize that being a nerd is more of a genetic, it's more of a genetic curse or some sort of a hand you've been given in life rather than just a decision that you make at some point.
And it's not so much as cool. It's not so much as cool as a life of just pain and disappointment the entire time, you know? So why should she get to reap the benefits?
Cool. It's not cool to be a nerd. You know, if you're using it thinking it's cool or cute, you don't understand
the
high school nerd experience.
But yeah, anyway, going back to...
I wouldn't know anything.
No.
I'm cool as I am.
Yeah, man, no, you don't hear about that when you're captain of the football team, dude.
No. I just remember digging those nerds out of my cleats. Fucking nerds.
Nerds. Yeah. But I'm kind of thinking about, like, we could have a whole ad campaign here. We could have bracelets for this Have Sex with a Ugly Person Day. We could have bracelets, t-shirts, we could have commercials with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman and Catherine Zeta-Jones, like I love ugly people, or ugly is beautiful, or something, you know?
Ugly is beautiful, dude,
yeah.
That's it.
We need to come up with a color, it'd be like a vomit green or something, pea soup green.
Hey, now you're bashing nerds. Why does it have to be vomit green?
That's true.
Do I hear an anti-ugly bias in your voice?
Uh-oh, not me, sir. I'm on your team for sure.
Well, Lance, you gotta jump on the bracelet bandwagon, man. You gotta make those, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so burnt out from the cause. You know, there's part of me that thinks that this is also an opportunity to make fun of that. Because first thing I'm gonna do is start a foundation that's nonprofit, and I'm gonna raise a lot of money, and I'm gonna pay myself, you know, $300,000 or $400,000, like the Susan G. Coleman Fund. The president makes like $800,000 a year, and the VPs. I mean, they're all feeding off the cancer teat, which is nauseating. So instead of fighting it, I'm gonna embrace it. This time next year, you won't even get a chance to talk to me. You'll talk to one of my publicists. I'll be in a small island.
There you go.
Well, yeah. that would be a fun experience. As long as he could, like, try to sound like you and pretend like he's you, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, just take a big hit of helium before he pops each time.
It's funny how that works out with all these organizations and charities that the people running it seem to be doing really well for themselves.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, just, that is us. You know, that is humanity. It's despicable. You know, you start with a good idea, and then you turn it over to humans, and then a couple years later, the NFL players are wearing pink cleats and pink this and pink that, and then that same foundation is spending millions attacking other fundraisers for using, Fight for the Cure or This for the Cure, which apparently they think they trademarked. So now you have these fundraising groups fighting amongst themselves, enriching lawyers where people are donating the money thinking they're fighting breast cancer or they're fighting this or, childhood that. And all you're doing is just throwing more money into, the pig's pot.
Yep. You can buy pink Energizer batteries also.
That's right.
So
I don't understand the whole do an action for this day, like, race for the cure, walk for the cure, and that's how you raise the money. It's like, why can't we just have donations come in instead? There's walking involved, or there's wearing this color on this day to bring awareness to this thing. Instead, it's like, just give us money.
Exactly.
Well, I recently wrote about that, except I said instead of the walk for a cure, I suggested that women walk until there's a cure. And basically it means go out there and walk until there's a cure, because the sight of hundreds of dead and dying women on the side of our road will really push research and help the cause. I don't want a button or a pin or a bracelet. If you really believe it, put on your tennis shoes and go walk until you die.
I can see stepping over just starving women that are crawling, their clothes are all ragged, and just walking over them all the time.
They're passionate.
But again, it would probably make the evening news. All the traffic jams, and all the extra pollution of these, dead and dying women floating in canals. Definitely, I would think the cure would come a lot faster.
You're onto something, man.
I'm telling you, I am an untapped resource. I think either the government or the New York Times should be contacting me to write for them instead of my lonely webpage. It's hard to believe they're not knocking on my door.
Have you sent anything out to them? I'm sure you have, right?
No, not really. I have this weird strategy of attaining, an audience. So for the first year, I'm just submitting and interacting with, introductory, web zines and fanzines and stuff, and then build a little credibility, and then maybe next year start going to the next tier. I would hate to, submit something that, gets a lot of attention and then be known as that guy.
Yeah, that's true.
This way, I'll have an entire backlog of stupid things, so people will never really, be able to take me serious or give me credibility. They'll know, that no matter what I'm writing about, I'm writing at it from a position of stupidity and making fun of it.
That's true, and it's always nice to do things, like, in an organic way, too, that you're doing all these things, you're publishing all these works, and then maybe the recognition will come with that, rather than trying to force something or trying to, get into some niche or something.
I think if anybody does anything, they would like to, or they should do it as if they've already made it, and they're looking back on how would they have liked it, you know, how did they want to get successful, and then just do it reverse, or reverse engineer your success. I'm not looking for the 50 Shades of Grey audience. You know, I have no interest, you know, in that audience. So I'm sort of trying to attract my own crowd through these channels of people doing the same thing I am. You know, I publish a lot of things through small upstart, you know, literature and prose magazines, because they're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're out there hustling. They're trying to, you know, build an audience and try to be, attack the hip market. That's where I want to go. So, you know, it's going to take a lot longer, but I think the journey will be a lot funner.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are people out there, I think more so than ever, that are hungry for that type of thing, you know, that are not so much looking for the 50 Shades of Grey, even though that brings in such tremendous numbers. I think every year there are more and more people that are looking for, you know, the point of view from the independent writer and the writer that can look at things and make things silly and stupid. You know, that's what people are going to be into, I think, more so in the future.
You like to think that. I mean, I'm still on the fence. You know, that's the hope, and I'm sure you guys are in the same boat, you know, as you try to, you know, grow an audience, as you hope that that's true, but there's a huge body of evidence to the contrary. You know, the mainstream is the mainstream for a reason, you know, and then, you know, willful ignorance is tough to overcome. You know, for every listener you have, you probably have, you know, 10,000 people listening to a, you know, Kleenex commercial right now. And they're fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't give a shit either way. You know, they don't want anything to provoke or make them think. They just want to, you know, belong to the herd.
Yeah, I think, though, we're seeing a lot, especially lately with the internet, and that people are kind of bucking against mainstream media in a lot of ways, like movie studios are starting to panic, and like recording companies are starting to panic, and there's a big drift towards doing things, you know, in a more independent way on the internet, and being able to produce things and being able to put them out to a huge audience nowadays. I don't know, I can't imagine that radio is doing nearly as well as it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, especially with the podcasts that are just huge right now. There's like Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan, who just have like thousands, and like they're getting millions of listens, you know, rather as opposed to radio, which I haven't listened to radio in forever. And I know a lot of my friends also just don't listen to radio anymore.
And they reach worldwide audiences too. Mm-hmm. It's not just markets.
They're
reaching on a global standpoint.
Not any local markets. You're getting to the entire world now.
Well, I think you know you're getting somewhere because you're starting to be made fun of by, you know, the media and the big conglomerates. You know, the podcast, you know, is the big joke now, where, you know, a year or two ago it was bloggers. You know, films kept having little backhanded slaps at blogging, you know, and these loser bloggers, you know, with their blogs and their this, and, you know, because they're scared. And so you're starting to hear a lot of humor and a lot of other, you know, pointed commentary about everybody having a podcast, and, you know, podcast. It's because they're scared, and you know, once people as a whole realize they don't have to listen, you know, to W blah blah blah, that they can have other, you know, ways to access information and entertainment, that's what I think makes them shit their pants. You know, they don't want that option out there. They're going to belittle it and make fun of it because, like you said, it scares them.
That's why we jumped on this bandwagon. You know?
Pretty much, yeah. Man.
We want to be the new conglomerates.
That's what we're doing. We're going to take over podcasting, and one day we're going to just corner that entire market and corporatize it, you know?
Oh, that's what I'm going for sure. I see T-shirts,
I
see caps.
There's a lot of truth in sarcasm. I think human nature is exactly that. And
yeah.
I'm the first person I've always said, you know, if Lance Mangan writes a bestseller, there won't be a bigger dick on the planet than Lance Mangan. And I'll be driving out of the world, you know, because everybody starts out with such good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get money and success, you know, I think it's hard to stay grounded and, you know, you start surrounding yourself with sycophants and stuff. I mean, I can easily see the two of you guys, you know, 5 years from now, having a hugely popular show and me trying to get on the air, and you guys are like, Lance who?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell them to fuck off.
Yeah. We would forget your name immediately.
Lance Mangan, no, fuck it. We got Matthew McConaughey. He's going to be taking his shirt off at 8, so yeah.
That's right. Sorry, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see a best-selling Lance Mannion walking down the street with a scarf and a beret, possibly.
For sure.
Oh, and well, whatever the fashion people are telling me to wear.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's going to be...
Whatever my consultant is pushing me towards.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this really nasty, and I'll probably put... I think I wrote it kind of where I put it. I don't think it was on my page. I'll put it up Tuesday or Wednesday this week, blasting Leonardo DiCaprio, because recently he said he was going to retire from filmmaking so he can fly around the world and talk to people about global warming.
That's
the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, he's just so fucking stupid. And then I take a step back and I'm like, but he's just doing what every celebrity does and probably what each of us would do, which is say, you know, the easy thing, say the thing that makes you look good with no thought put into it, and just hope, you know, the ignorant masses just eat it up. Because, you know, there's 50 billion girls squealing and saying, oh, isn't he dreamy and isn't he a swell guy? And there's very few of us that are actually looking at that statement and wanting to sit down with him and say, do you understand your carbon footprint at all? Do you understand anything about that? Fly around the world talking about global warming. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
In his massive private jet just going all around.
The next day he had the yacht down in the Caribbean or somewhere. He was spending the week with, like, Naomi Campbell on his yacht.
Wow. Yeah.
But the press club, with a straight face, publishes it. They put it out there as news. Leonardo to save the planet.
He's so noble.
And where does this come from? Mm-hmm. You know, where were the reporters raising their hand and challenging this stupid comment?
Yeah.
But they're not there. It's all just a business now.
Yeah, that's pretty... Yeah, and you're right. It's something about human nature, too. Because if I had that kind of money, I would be banging the hell out of Naomi Campbell on a yacht.
Oh, for sure.
In the Mediterranean. Yeah. So...
Yeah, you can't really get high and mighty, because Naomi Campbell has not returned my call, you know, to spend the weekend fishing on my rented vessel, mm-hmm. down at the pond, and she's certainly not doing anything on Sleep with an Ugly Person Day. I bet her calendar is filled way past April 2nd.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe in a couple years from now, she'll be down with it, too.
Maybe we can sort of, you know, split the difference and have those two agree to throw an ugly person into a menage a trois.
There we go.
You know, sort of baby steps. Introduce them.
Just be an ugly person sandwich. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's a start. And that's what I'm all about. You know, starting that ball rolling. So Leonardo, you know, if he just can't stand the calendar he's banging, he can then, like, look a little to the left. And okay, there's Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell.
You know, and then once he's soaked that in there, he's regained his erection, he can turn back and, you know, get back to work on the ugly girl.
Mm-hmm. Plus, he's so noble and so he cares so much about the world that he should be all about this movement.
Yeah, my phone sits there unringing. I let all the beautiful people know about this day, and I didn't get, I sent it out via email. I couldn't get one attractive person, or globally accepted attractive person, to have any interest in taking one to the team. Very surprised.
Well, I see that all changing, Lance, here in a couple of years, and it's starting this year, April 2nd, National Sleep with an Ugly Person Day.
Yeah, won't you help?
So, but now let's talk a little bit also about the new book that you're working on. I know your latest one, The Ball Washer, is available for free download on your website, but can you give us any information on the new project that you're working on?
Well, I would like to say that it's, you know, a lot better and more brilliant, but it's pretty much, you know, more of the same. You know, as we talked about before we went on air, I recently went through and chopped a bunch of stuff because, you know, I'm starting to get a little, you know, pretentious as far as thinking I'm a real writer. So I've been, you know, writing just normal stories. And then, you know, I take a long, hard look in the mirror. I'm like, you know, everybody's doing this. You know, this is that podcast syndrome. There's 50 million bloggers talking about angst and disappointment. So I went through and asked a bunch of stuff, and now, like, for the next week, I'm really starting to, you know, write about topics like, you know, racism and homophobia and religion and stuff, and trying to get a little bit more outside the comfort zone, which I think inevitably you start to fall into. So I think it probably won't be till summer now. but it will have, you know, some more laugh out loud kind of stuff mixed in with your, you know, making your think stories.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody that hasn't checked out any of your work should definitely do it, because even if I didn't know you personally and I just stumbled upon one of your books and I read it, from then on I would follow everything that you write, because that's definitely the type of thing that I'm into for sure.
Well, the only thing I sort of did was just give myself permission to just be stupid, to just write and write through things and say things that, you know, make me uncomfortable, or even think things that make me uncomfortable. I just wrote the thing talking about how we've got to stop bullying racists. You know, that's something that, of course, will offend everybody, and that's the point. Mm-hmm. You know, just to start, you know, creating conversations, attacking normal things, but not doing it in a pretentious way, doing it in a really honest way. Like, I'm probably going to start it tomorrow, but, you know, write an article. I often wonder that if I were a gay man, if I would think about banging Jesus. Simple thought, you know, very blasphemous. But if God were portrayed as a hot female, I'm pretty sure I would jerk off to her. I know it's horrible, but, you know, that's something I wrestle with. So now I'm thinking, well, if I'm a gay guy, would I want to bang Jesus? Because it's assumed that I would want to bang Mary. She was a virgin. Every guy wants to bang a virgin. Plus, you'd be banging a girl that Jesus couldn't even get. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, and I imagine Jesus was probably a pretty svelte man, a carpenter, a worker.
Oh, yeah. All sweaty.
He's always wearing the robes, but I'm picturing a six-pack. And, you know, definitely. He blessed himself with a huge slong. So, if I'm a gay guy, those are the things I'm thinking about. You know, if you're Jesus, you got to bring it. If you're going to actually have sex,
that's true.
You're not going to be average.
That's true. That's a good point. It's got to be a religious experience.
Very dumb premise, but it's something that will be not only hopefully somewhat amusing, mm-hmm. but will just make somebody have a unique thought of their own, whether they'll be offended and they'll take a look at their own belief system, whether they're atheists and they'll just be thinking that this is an attack, whether they're believers and they'll think it's, you know, an interesting observation. It will cause you to think. And most articles and most blogs are just storytelling, very two-dimensional. You know, you're basically expressing a point. What I'm hoping to do is create, in, you know, 1,000 words or less, something that makes you think a little bit about the writing itself, but more importantly, makes you have a unique thought of your own. And I think that's what, you know, that's why I deleted a lot of my recent stories, because they were just me trying to be cute, or me just, you know, trying to, you know, have a female reader think, oh, the sweet guy, you know, maybe I'll throw him some. I just want to steer more into the waters of, you know, creating interesting observations or weird ways to look at things that aren't out there on 1,000 other blog sites.
We're really happy that there's somebody like you out there, man, because there's just not enough of that. Not enough people are willing to look at the silly things in life, and I think, you know, that's really important. It's really important to look at the absurd.
Well, you know, the one thing is there's no money in it. So, you know, that's one of the downsides. You know, I think I'd be making a lot more money if I was, like, writing, you know, Japanese to English translations for, you know, go-karts and motors. There's not a lot of, you know, people out there dying to pay for it. So you sort of have to throw it out there for free and try to get people on your side. So then the next time I put out a book, they're willing to shell out for it.
Do you have a working title for the book? Do you give it like a working title before you've come up with an idea what you're going to call it?
I do. Actually, it's called Dizzying Depths, but that's also been the working title for the last two, and then it changed at the last minute. You know, I'm down to, there's actually, I think, 9 titles I have, and I'll probably, you know, put them out on Facebook and see which one people like the best.
Cool.
The Bone Crusher was easy because it had such a great cover idea. That it was just as soon as I wrote that, I'm like, oh, there's a good title. You know, I haven't written anything that's cover worthy yet.
Yeah, that cover too was also a lot more subtle than I didn't really notice it the first few times I kind of looked at the cover, and then I was like, wait, that's a dude standing at a sink washing his balls.
Yeah, man.
It just looked like the naked guy at the back of him or something.
You do have to like double take. Like,
I was like, okay, that's pretty literal.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the problem was is a lot of people thought it was gay porn. Mm-hmm. I had people, you know, sending me emails saying, you know, you should change the cover. I almost didn't download. If it weren't free, I wouldn't have downloaded it because I thought it was going to be gay porn.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Which then made me laugh and think, well, why were you downloading gay porn and you're disappointed? Maybe they were just angry it wasn't gay porn.
That's what it was, probably.
Pretty sure, yeah.
The API, the first story of the next book, should be hardcore gay porn story.
Oh.
That way I sort of like give a throw bone to that crowd. Say, I'm sorry about the ball washer. That's really tough, but here you go. It's a little late, but see what you can do with this.
I could see just a white background, big bold black letters
mm-hmm.
on the cover. That would be really cool. Yeah, I know what you're talking about the code names though for our project titles. We do that actually with every episode.
That's right.
We're sitting here and we create a working title for every episode before we release it.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one, we're calling Codename Orbis.
Codename Orbis.
Yeah.
And if we don't come up with an actual title, then we'll just go with that, and it'd be pretty badass
so
anyway.
There you go.
Why Orbis?
Well, because it's super cool sounding, man. Isn't that what you do for a lot of working titles? Don't you just come up with something that sounds super cool? I thought that's what we're doing.
One of the ones I quickly rejected was it was going to be Reed Tarded. Reed Tarded. But then I'm like, the backlash would be way too much, especially if I had a funny cover. I'm like, I just don't want to deal with that. But I thought that would be like a great trio.
That'd be pretty good. You might need to wait for a little bit more fame and fans on that one.
Yeah, I think people, that's still one of those real sensitive things, you know, for good reason, I guess. But, I see a lot more hate mail than normal. And I have such precious few Facebook likes as it is. I think Retarded would probably cut it in half in the first hour.
Yeah, it might. It might do that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking with you for about 40 minutes here. I mean, what else we got? I mean, really.
Should I apologize?
Oh no, absolutely not. No, we always end up going a long time with you because I don't know, we just get into such interesting topics. You know, we just lose track of time.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
Well, that's why I say, you know, going into this, you know, I never want to actually have anything to talk about. This was nice that I had the April 2nd thing to pitch, but most of the fun conversations are like the stream of consciousness. If I was sitting there trying to work in something the whole time, it sort of kills momentum.
Yeah, it's true. It becomes a bit, or it becomes just a pitch from you.
How about that turtle wax, huh?
Exactly.
What a long-lasting shine.
Did I say turtle wax?
All right, so you can check out Lance Mannion at lancemannion.com.
That's right.
He has a Facebook. I know he's counting those likes, just like Ty and I are doing.
Yeah, what's – did you ever figure out your Facebook address? I think –
No, it's the best thing to do is just find the Facebook Lance Mannion,
mm-hmm.
which is my personal site, and then there it'll link you to what the writer site is.
Okay, so LanceMannion.com.
I'm figuring this stuff out, but I am up to 14, Twitter people who are following me, so that's big news. I think I was only at 11 last time we talked, so.
Oh, buddy, nice. We're catching up to you. I think we have 8 now.
Yeah, that's right.
That's,
well, maybe if we can talk our parents into liking each other's, then boom.
There we go.
Double our Twitters.
I think it will double it up.
It sucks because Twitter is probably my most brilliant stuff. I love the one-line stuff. I'm constantly Twittering to nobody. Any psychiatrist who was looking at that would probably have me committed. Because if that's his third Twitter today to nobody, he might as well open a closet and yell into it.
That's right.
And don't you hate that too? Whenever you're working so hard and you're laying down such just brilliant things in your mind on Twitter, and it's like you're not reaching anybody. I know that we've spent so much time editing like our first, you know, 10 episodes, and I'm mm-hmm. sure nobody heard any of those, man.
Nobody had any.
And we just had like great jokes that in our opinion, great jokes mm-hmm. and, you know, funny little songs, but it probably didn't even reach anybody,
no.
man.
It's gonna have to be some retrospective stuff.
Oh, I wasted that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chicken and the egg. You're not gonna get an audience until you do something that's brilliant. But when you do something brilliant and you have no audience, you know, and all you hear is crickets, it's depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this interview. This is gold. This is gold.
This is gold.
How many people are gonna hear it? Not the millions that it deserves.
No, definitely not.
Not the millions, but you know what? Maybe someday. Maybe someday we'll. We can share our million fans with your million fans, and, you know, they won't have 2 million.
Well, like we said, one of us has got to become popular, and then the other one can, like, be a giant parasite and hitch along.
Ride the coattails.
I keep referencing that I was on your show all the time, you know, back before you guys were celebrities.
Yeah.
All right, well, if it's us, we're definitely going to remember you, Lance.
Well, yeah, especially April 2nd when I send two ugly girls to your studio every year.
Oh, buddy. We're going to have to put the money where our mouth is on that one.
Yeah, buddy.
I'll be like, tell him Lance Mannion sent you. In the condom.
Then we'll have to. We'll have to have sex with him.
Time for you boys to go hogging.
So, yeah.
Just reflecting on hypocrisy. You start to hear about April 2nd, and you start going, oh, this guy's a nice guy. And then I use the term hogging. Every one of your hogging audience is now deleting their like. And so, oops. I knew eventually I'm going to say something stupid.
That's all right. We didn't want that person anyway. We didn't want their like.
Yeah. We like the people who can get down with hogging.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But
you know, if you look at it, I bet the 50 Shades of Grey readers are hogs. That's what I like to tell myself.
That's true, and I think.
Although I'm sure all the supermodels are also reading that crap.
Yeah, I think if I look back into my own personal experience with the readers of that, I can go with you on that one.
Well, I like to think I've been active in the National Supermodel Christian Day way before it was popular. Just, take any one of my 4 years of college, and I would probably be, leading the pack of supporters.
That's good.
So there it is, man. It's close to your heart, Lance.
Yeah, I give. I don't expect anything back, but, just a wonderful human being.
So we're going to remember April 2nd. Mm-hmm. We're going to remember it every year after this, too. We're going to celebrate it.
Definitely. It's going to become a thing.
Go, whatever happened to Lance Mannion?
when some huge company is gonna start sponsoring this, and they're just gonna completely take it away from you, you're gonna get no recognition for it. There really are gonna be bracelets out there.
Oh yeah, I will be the most bitter bastard you ever stumbled upon, screaming that I came up with it. Be like, yeah, I'm sure the General Electric was doing it. And, 1997 was the first National Sleep with an Ugly Person Day, bringing good things to life. Turtle wax, wouldn't that be a bitch? Turtle wax comes back to fuck me after all.
I'm also seeing billboards. The billboards for it would have the celebrity with tape over their eyes. They would have tape over their eyes because it doesn't matter what they look like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're thinking big, man.
I'm going for it, guys.
I think you guys need to take control of this. You might be the Midwest coordinators of National Sleep on Person Day.
Yeah, you do need different territories for something this big, mm-hmm. You need people all across, not even just the country, but across the globe that are going to run this.
Definitely.
Well, I'm thinking bars should really get in this. Half-price drinks to beautiful people. Not that they pay anyway, but just to try to get them liquored up.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, no real hip bar wants a bunch of ugly people clashing in, so we might have to think that through a bit.
Yeah, I find
maybe
that.
We should have big get-togethers at Bonds. Throw a little clay paper up, throw down some straw so the girls' high heels, don't catch in the mud. I'm just trying to give this a Midwest touch.
That's, you got it. St. Louis is full of barns.
And straw.
the whole, maybe the Amish. Because,
oh, yeah, we do have a lot of those.
Women, I think every day is April 2nd, knowledge
land. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's for sure, definitely. There's a lot of them here.
I can make fun of them, fuck them, because they don't listen to the radio.
That's true, that's right.
Next time I call in, all I'm going to do is bash Amish people the entire time.
Just bash them. You could have an entire TV show on a major network do that, and they would never, ever know about it.
Yeah, you wonder. I think they have their spies.
Although,
that one ruddy cheeked bearded guy in the suspenders, sneaking into the back of the barn with his 1975 Sony flicking on the TV, seeing if everybody's talking bad about the Amish.
The
black buggies are out.
there's some reality show right now that's called like Amish Mobsters or Amish Mafia. Is that what it is?
Yep.
And it's about it's about Amish people who are also like in the mafia, or they have their own mafia going on.
I caught one of the episodes, and it was there were imposter Amish people out on the side of the road selling pies.
What?
And the leader of the Amish mafia went and strong-armed them out of there. They're like, you're not even really Amish. You got to get out of here. It was great.
So this butter didn't come from a churn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm out in Philadelphia, so Lancaster's only a short drive, so I'm out there all the time seeing the buggies. I don't think they have much mafia out there. They seem a pretty likable folk. When yeah, they're not they chopping each other's beards off and molesting their children. I don't think they want to bring any attention to themselves.
No, I don't think so. They do seem like a pretty likable bunch.
Yeah, I think the word creepy resonates.
There is.
But, you know, they make good jam, so we let it slide out here in Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Oh, great jams and great pies, but there really is something creepy about a lot of Amish people, man.
Something's weird. They all have the same name.
Yeah.
They all have a same weird accents.
And they don't educate people to apparently that the sixth or eighth grade, that's as high as you can get educated. So they keep people stupid, which I think just right there should be a red flag. There's got to be a reason
for
that.
That's actually a really good point, yeah.
Now, wouldn't it be awesome you read tomorrow that I die in some freak buggy accident? Because the goddamn Amish Mafia it's was men?
The Amish Mafia. It's a real thing.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of Amish listeners, so...
We do. That is
Abraham, come listen to this.
That's a huge demographic for us, are the Amish people.
We must kill Lance Mannion.
Grab your pitchfork. There's been a blasphemer reported.
That would almost be worth it, though. I've always dreamed about being chased out of a town by an angry mob with pitchforks and torches. You got to be doing something right for that to happen.
That's true.
Oh, well, except for Frankenstein.
Well, that's true.
I was just trying to, you know, chuckle science a little, so no reason to get so uppity.
Yeah, but...
When I'm done talking about the Amish, I don't want to end up in a pie.
Yeah, but we're changing that now. After April 2nd, Frankenstein's going to be a hot commodity, so...
Well, you know, it wasn't the Frankenstein monster who's going to get laid. Mm-hmm. Frankenstein the doctor wasn't.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I mean, he could have been. I just want to make sure we're literally accurate.
That's right. I always forget that Frankenstein is the doctor.
Now werewolf's getting a lot of trim. But Frankenstein, I'm not so sure about.
That's true. That's a good point.
A lot of trim. I haven't heard that description in a while.
I only think that balances some for some of your older listeners.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so Lance, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. If anybody has not checked out the free download of the Ball Washer, please do it. I think after they check out the free download, they're definitely gonna check out your other books, man, because you really got something good going on, and you're just
I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely agree. Using humor and comedy to kind of put forward a message, or at least trying to make people think a little bit for themselves. Instead of
someone has to talk shit about the Amish. They're up to something.
They are, absolutely. So I guess.
Well, good luck on your podcast. I hope you guys get famous soon, so you can drag me along with me.
All right,
that would be nice.
It would be a pleasure.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
So
I appreciate the time, guys.
Oh, not a problem. Anytime, Lance. You always got a forum here, man.
Well, cool. Anything I can do, always reach out. If you need stupid comments on anything, you know my phone number. But. You know, just remember, April 2nd, National
Super Rugby
Person Day.
All right.
That's right.
So,
you heard it here, guys.
You heard it here. Maybe not first, but you did hear it here.
You did hear it here. This is the place you heard it.
So we're gonna take a quick break, and then we will be back after this.
Class attention. Forward march. Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. Because if I were.
Parade is so inspiring. Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I never want to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me. Oh, I love to be an
Oscar Mayer wieners are all meat, all good meat, rich and complete meat protein, mildly seasoned to bring out all the good meat flavor.
Everyone would be in love with me.
Next week, you'll handle just the refreshments, Freddy.
All right, Ty, we're back.
Back in business.
How'd you feel about that interview with Lance?
Felt really good about it. I think we got something going with this.
I think so, too, man. He's definitely onto something. Mm-hmm. I really want to see the bracelets.
I do, too. I'm imagining the whole marketing side of this. Yeah. There could be T-shirts, celebrity endorsements. Bracelets. We're gonna have to come up with a color. What color we want?
Yeah. I think even though it could be like maybe like a slur to ugly people, but I think that the puke green that you're talking about does, it really resonates.
I thought so too.
I mean, if you're going to use the phrase ugly, why not throw it in there?
It might as well. It could be a really ugly shirt. Like, why are you wearing that shirt?
Or like a,
for a reason.
Like a yellow, not so much like a bright yellow, but like, you know, you'd see like the old fashioned gross looking refrigerators, like that yellow, little, maybe a little brown mixed in there.
I like it. Maybe some flex, some brown flex just strewn about it.
Yeah.
It couldn't be bright yellow because that's Lance Armstrong and that color is now banned from being used.
Is it?
Since he's fallen from grace. Man, like a sack of stones.
That's crazy how, like, beloved he was. And now all of a sudden he's just a pile of shit.
Yeah, really. I was thinking, it's kind of sad that that was my first thought, though, with all of this, was there's been the last, I don't remember when his bracelets came out, but the last 10 years or so, there have been people who have worn those religiously, and now, like, now they had lies on their wrists for the last 10 years. Their wrists were conduits of lies and shame.
Well, you've seen the Lie Strong bracelets.
Oh, are there Lie Strong?
I had the idea, but I knew that I wasn't the first one that had the idea. And whenever I realized that I had the idea, they were already mass-produced. But, yeah, I would like to see a bracelet like Ugly is Beautiful. That's what's up, man. Well, you know, we are we're the leaders of this chapter.
That's true.
So, we could
that's make true. It. We have the Midwest chapter, so, yeah.
That's a pretty big, I mean, we got Chicago. We got Kansas City, of course, our dear St. Louis.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it could be a hit, man. I think bars would be packed with people if they put that out there.
Yeah.
They're like, it's have sex with an ugly person night tonight.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of bars, the kind of bars we would go to, do some good business.
Yeah, and I think people would be like kind of attracted to it just because it seems kind of silly. And people would be like, oh, I totally want to buy that t-shirt. I totally want to wear that bracelet.
Yeah.
You know? I totally want to get a giant like campaign like button and wear it on my shirt.
Yeah, we could have a walk for ugly.
Yeah, I liked his idea too about walk until there's a gear.
Walk till you're just dead.
That's fucking brilliant, man.
That's pretty awesome.
I want to read that article so bad.
Although I think we need to kind of take a step back and be like, wait a second, we're doing this for a good reason. It's because there's ugly people out there.
You're right.
Who just can't get no loving.
It's not, and I mean, he's passionate about it. It's not so much a joke to him. Like, I mean, a lot of people do not take it seriously, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But he really wants to, in his way, he wants to make the world a better place.
He does, right? And like he said, he's just there to spark a dialogue, even if it's funny or goofy or silly. That's the whole point, which I think is one of the best things about comedy to begin with.
Exactly. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much really all we have.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, I see you're tinkering with something over there.
Yeah, I'm holding on to it like it's a lucky rabbit's foot.
You are. You've been clutching it. Yeah, the whole time.
It's a. Should I give a demonstration?
Yeah, go ahead. See if they can guess it.
All right.
I think everybody knows what that is. Well, no, I don't know.
It's a weenie whistle.
It's a weenie whistle.
A weenie whistle.
That's right. There's gonna be two people that get that reference also.
Well, I think we've actually made that.
Us.
Yeah, I think we've made that on a podcast.
Have we?
I think we were talking about the Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think you're right. We did probably. Yeah, we did talk about the Santa Claus.
It's one of really the only Judge Reinhold lines I can throw out.
That's right. It's probably his best movie anyway.
Yeah. Or, man, I'm trying to think. I know he's got.
What else is he in?
Well, I know he's got one of Fast Times.
Fast Times, yeah. I was going to say Fast Times. I mean, all I remember is him masturbating in a bathroom.
Yeah. That was my favorite scene. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you got yourself a weenie whistle. Where did you get that?
Well, I was the Walmart right across the street. I went in to pick up some dog food and, you know, odds and ends. And the weenie mobile was parked out front, which is kind of strange because I was actually tracking it a couple months before. Like, I was going to go out of my way.
Is that something you can do? Track it?
Yeah, you can track because they're touring, man. They just go all over the country.
Oh, okay, so they just put up where they're going. And
yeah, and they were supposed to be at another Walmart, and I was totally going to go, but I missed it. And I was kind of bummed out about it, and this just happened by chance. I just happened to walk up. It was me and probably about 14 to 16 kids. I just pretended like I was with the kids, like that was their uncle or something.
Yeah, just like like you're a tour guide or something.
Yeah, and I didn't want to ask for a weenie whistle, so I'm glad the guy just took pity and offered it to me. Because he's like...
He knows.
Yeah, he's just standing there, he's like,
you know, I mean, want to come in?
Yeah. You're just standing there looking at it longingly.
Yeah.
Just waiting for an invite.
So I got to sit in the, I got to sit in the back. It was pretty cool, but I could tell that, like, the guy, like, one of the tour guys, he was just dead inside. Like, he just was sick of talking about the Wienermobile.
Come on, dude. You got to be passionate.
So, I mean, the first thing I thought, I was like, so where'd you guys come from? Like, where'd you, what's on the agenda next, you know? And the guy kind of didn't answer me, and then there was a girl there that answered me. But I could tell he just burnt out about talking about it.
He just wienered out, buddy.
Yeah. So he threw me a weenie whistle. I went on my way. I actually took a pic. Took a pic. We'll put it up on the Facebook.
Awesome. Yeah, do it. I don't think I've ever, I've seen it, but I don't think I've ever been in it. I don't know if I knew that was possible.
Yeah, they tore it. I mean, inside of it, it's like a basic RV.
Is it?
It's kind of a letdown. The outside's what's happening. It's a super cool looking little truck.
I would love to drive that dude around. Yeah.
It's touring the country in the weenie mobile.
Yeah, keep the weenie alive. I feel like the weenie mobile is probably much more popular maybe 15, 20 years ago, though.
Yeah, I agree. They're hanging on, though.
Yeah, they're doing it.
And, I mean, it's a good move for Oscar Mayer because, in my opinion, worst tasting hot dog. It's the Oscar Mayer wiener.
Yeah.
I don't ever go
it's
by
it's not that great. No. It's not that great. Just that plain Oscar Mayer wiener. Yeah.
I'm a Nathan's guy.
That's where it's at, man. You got to get that kosher shit.
Nathan's or Hebrew National.
Mhm. Yep. Got to do it. Yeah, those are the best definitely. Like I like to fry and also I don't know, how do you make your hot dogs?
I'm a boiler.
Are you a boiler?
Yeah.
I used to be a boiler, man. Now I fry them up, put them in a pan.
You like split them in half?
No, I just put them in a pan. Fry them up, turn them around, get them nice and, because it cooks it a little bit, so it actually cooks it more. It makes it taste amazing, dude.
Does it really?
Try it out.
I might have to.
That's how I do it now. I can't go back to boiling anymore.
Giving out a couple of our favorite recipes.
Just some tips, our hot dog recipes.
Tips for making hot dogs.
Yeah, you can boil them, you can fry them up.
Yeah, there you go. You can grill them, too, if it's a nice sunny day.
Grill them is awesome, too. It's almost the same concept.
Yeah. But yeah, so look, be on the lookout for the Oscar Mayer Weenie Mobile.
That's right.
Fun time to be had by all.
It is. This episode was actually brought to you by Oscar Mayer Weenie.
We should mention that. Yeah. We're trying out the subliminal messaging a little bit. So I guess that's really all we have. Again, just if you didn't catch any, like if you turn on a podcast and you're already to the end of it, like you just happen to tune in.
Yeah.
Lance Mannion's at lancemannion.com.
That's right.
Check him out on Facebook and Twitter. It's all the same name, Lance Mannion.
Mm-hmm. Excellent author.
I can't stress enough, download the free copy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you got to lose?
It's free, folks.
Yeah. So it's a great read, and I really think you'll be happy that you did it. And then when you're done with that, check us out. You know, get a Facebook.
Give us a little listen. Yeah.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Tell your family members.
Yeah.
Write a letter to your local politicians.
Yeah. We still have stickers.
Yeah, give us a shout out. You want free stickers? Send us your address. We'll send them out to you.
Yeah,
happy to.
We're just all about giving it out, man. Getting the word out. Mm-hmm. Rate and review us on iTunes. All that good stuff. You know, I actually saw one of our stickers up.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw it. I was where'd I go? Oh, there's one stuck up at Vintage Vinyl.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I dropped some stickers off there, but they got one just like sticking up.
Somebody stuck one up for us. Nice.
Which is cool, man. We got like a little
that's where it's at.
A little street team.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Just sticking it up on
anonymous street team.
Yeah, man, on like light poles and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing in Del Mar.
It is. That's right. We need to start sticking our stickers up on random inanimate objects.
Yeah.
You
know? Dogs. Dogs would be cool.
Dogs, homeless people.
Yeah. All right. Well, whenever we start with ideas for homeless people, it usually means it's time to wrap it up. So, until next time,
mm-hmm.
I'm Rocky.
And I'm Ty.
That was nice.
Thanks for setting me up.
All right. And this has been the Complete Sentences Podcast. Everybody have a nice week.
Yeah. Peace.
You have just listened to Complete Sentences with Ty and Rocky K. Please feel free to email us at completesentencespod@gmail.com.